Yo, what is that, a roaring fire you got back there? What is going on? What is this?
I'm in an undisclosed location. I'm in the country, bro. Hide now.
This cat got a roaring fire. Incredible.
So I have a question. Are you tired because of workouts or still the bounce back from our long weekend?
Man, it's been a long week, first of all. And then, you know.
True.
That last day threw us over the edge.
Man. Yeah, because yeah. I was hurt.
Yeah.
For all the wonderful listeners, I want to bring you into our world real quick. OC. Mm.
Yeah.
When's the last time you pulled the all-nighter?
Never. That's probably when. I mean, I don't remember the last time I stayed up for 24 hours straight. I think that might have been the first time I've ever done that before. Like, stayed up. Because I usually wake up around 6:30, 7 in the morning. And I didn't go to sleep till... We didn't get to sleep till like what? 7:30, 8 o'clock the next
7:30, 8 hours.
Yeah.
We pulled an all-nighter on Super Bowl Sunday until Super Bowl Monday. Like, we won the Super Bowl. And basically we got up early, obviously doing our thing, started the broadcast, stayed up after to do BBC breakfast for our guy Dan.
Yeah, shout out to Dan. Shout out to Dan, you know, a good guy. Only person on earth who could have who could have made me stay up at least?
No, and I'm cracking up because on live television, you let him know. You said, Dan, nobody else could make me do this.
Yeah. If something's on my mind, I have to say it. I have to say it like right then. Like, I can't wait to see him and be like, hey, Dan, you know. No, I have to tell him like right when I see him. I have to let him know right then. What's up?
Olsi, can I be real with you?
Yep.
This Ostradoma stuff is real. I'm not even playing. It's not a joke anymore. It's not even a joke anymore. It's not a joke.
You know what I think got you? You know what I think really got you, Jason? It wasn't that I said Tapper was gonna win. It's I said Tapper's gonna win by 10. I think that's what got you. Because how on earth would somebody be able to make that prediction? Like, how would that happen?
First of all, you said it with such conviction. Such conviction. Before the game.
You were like, is this guy crazy? Like, no. Tampa by 10. Oh, like this guy's, he's lost his mind. I said, okay, but Tampa, it's Tampa by 10. Watch, it's Tampa by 10.
Without a flinch, you said, you sat down. I said, I was ready. Everybody, we know you don't give the game prediction until right before the game. You looked at me and you said, Tampa. I felt you were leaning that way by 10. I almost wanted to throw all the notes I had up. He's not even taking this serious. And we're doing the live broadcast and through the game. Every once in a while, you looked at me like this. Why are you mad, J-Bell?
Jason, you are hot too. You are like, what is, you are so mad at Kansas City. Furious at Kansas City, man.
I'm seeing what's going on, and we've talked about everything. We said they're going to stop the big play. They're going to back the safeties up, but this is what they're going to have to do to move the ball, right? We had it all figured out, and it just wasn't working.
Yeah.
And it was everything Tampa needed to do right, especially with that defensive front. They did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, okay. Let me just be completely honest with you. Let me just be straight up with you about everything, okay? I am not a psychic. I'm not a genius. I'm not none of these things. Nothing. All I do, all I do, Jason, is if I'm given enough time to sit there and watch, right? And sit there and watch and watch and watch, like over a long period of time, what I tend to realize about this world in relation to sports, in relation to football, is, bro, these things, it repeats itself. Everything repeats itself. Like every single thing repeats itself. All the things that you think that are new, that they're not new. None of it is new. So if you sit there and you watch long enough, I promise you, you see a pattern. And as soon as I spot that pattern, I call it out. As soon as I spot it. As soon as I spot the pattern, I call that thing out. I'm like, boom. So I'm looking at Tampa Bay, right? I'm looking at everything that went on with that football team, how they got there, how they got to the championship, all the people who they had to beat. I'm looking at the makeup of their roster, and they reminded me exactly of the 2007 football New York Giants. I'm talking about, like, they had one Pro Bowler. You know who that one Pro Bowler was?
Yep. JPP.
We had one Pro Bowler. It was me.
You.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
How did we defeat that high-powered offense? We were superior along the defensive line. And I'm looking at Tampa. I'm like, man, this is the exact same football team. The exact same football team. You understand? All they have to do, there's no way that offensive line can block these guys. There's just no way they can block them. So if they can't block them, I don't care who you got. How are you going to win? How? What's your formula for winning? Oh, Patrick Mahomes, the cheetah. But who's going to block those guys? Somebody has to block those defensive linemen. And if you have a distinct and clear advantage on one of the lines, whether that's offensive line or defensive line, if you have a distinct advantage on one of those lines, you are going to win the game. The skill position only comes in the play when it's like even. If it's like an even battle between the offensive and the defensive lines, okay, that's when the skill position, that's when that becomes a factor. But if it's not, if one of them is overwhelming, you don't have no chance to win the game. So in my head, I'm like, Kansas City can't win this game. They literally do not have a chance to win this game. Boom. And it just played out just like that.
Man, I mean, their margin for error was basically nothing, because the two plays, big plays that we both saw during the game and we commented on, the drop and double coverage to Tyreek Hill. If he comes up with that catch, they probably score. And then Travis Kelce on a big third down that could have gave them another opportunity to score. You know, they basically had no other margin for errors. They threw another ball to Tyreek Hill that the one he let get in that was intercepted. I feel like he should attack that ball differently, but they're not a team that they can operate under mistakes usually, because they have more opportunities to sustain drives and things of that nature. But to your point, man, it's all about the line of scrimmage. We always talk about it, and you are totally right. I thought Patrick Mahomes could make some magic happen. I mean, let me tell you something. Patrick Mahomes was still phenomenal. I mean, he was running around on a bad toe, throwing the ball like I've never seen, you know, diving, whatever like that. Of course, I'm making excuses because I wanted him to win, but he was. Your guy's still good. But you're right. I think for all the hardcore football fans, when you see the draft happen and you see an offensive tackle taken, a guard taken early, on the defensive line, obviously, if you got a big pass rusher, you go after him. Or even a superior defensive lineman that's in the interior, and you want a receiver or a running back or this or that, there's your answer. OC gave it to you. You got to win the line of scrimmage. And the ones that are the great ones, they don't leave their teams, right, OC?
Period. They're there. They're there the whole time. Now, I got to add something else in, because – the Tampa Bay call, I call Tampa Bay because of that, you know, just that, those factors right there. That's the only reason why I called them. Now, I'm going to tell you why I said Tampa Bay by 10. I'm going to tell you why I said Tampa Bay by 10. Okay.
Please do.
And you notice I didn't say Tampa Bay by 10 until I saw the people walking in, right?
Yes. We always talk about that. We want to see.
Yes. Yes. Now, I saw Mahomes. I saw his outfit, right? I saw Travis Kelce in that red, right? I saw the cheetah with that cheetah print, with that thing, with the, and I said, they're about to get their ass whipped right now. They're about to get this team right here. Jason.
The outfits told you. Jason, winner.
Jason, listen to me. I put this on everything I love. I'm not making this up. I know. Sometimes I just say things. I'm not making this up. When I saw the way they were dressed, right, I said, these guys are about to get their asses whipped. They're about to get whipped right now, because it was too much. It was too much. It was too much flash. You understand what I mean? It was too much flash. Tampa Bay is were gritty. It's a hungry football team. You understand? They're hungry. And these guys got on all these nice fly outfits, going to the Super Bowl. It was too much flash, man. It was too much. It was too much.
Now, I will say this. You are right. It was flash. But if Tampa would have lost, you could have looked at Shaq Barrett's outfit.
Yeah.
I mean, his whole outfit, his mask, it was the outfit. He had chains everywhere. I mean, it was fresh. It was whatever.
Hey, but there's a difference.
Okay.
I can't say the difference on air. I can't say the difference. It's not, I can't say it, but there's a difference.
Okay,
but there's a difference.
Okay.
And that was the difference.
You always said you need to see the day of the game. You need to feel it. You need to look at it. And obviously you've been there twice, so you understand all those elements. And you called it again. You know what? I want to say that even though I was going for KC, I wanted Tampa to win based on, if they did win, based on their diversity in their coaching staff, mm-hmm. from top to bottom, mm-hmm. right? We talk about corporate culture and why diversity matters and how it eventually will make your product better, whatever you're doing, whatever you're developing, whatever you're selling. The most diverse staff in the NFL, you think, Tampa Bay?
100%. I don't think it's even close. No, they got women on their staff. They got all their coordinated positions are filled by Black people. I don't think, I'm not even sure if there's another team in the NFL that's like that, you know?
Right.
But I love what Tampa Bay has done. I love what they've done. I mean, I am in awe of what they've done. I'm talking about like from the top all the way to the bottom, everything that they've done, everything that Bruce Arians stands for. Like, he doesn't just talk about, diversity. He doesn't just, he is literally about that life. This is what he stands for.
Yes.
And he makes it a point. To go about doing those things, you know? And Todd Bowles, obviously, if Todd Bowles hadn't been a defensive coordinator before, he's for sure going to get a head coaching job. But the only thing with Todd was he was the Jets head coach for 4 years. So they gave him a lot of opportunity at the New York Jets. Yeah. So they gave him a lot of opportunity there. 4 years, you know, that's a long time. So, you know, now obviously he comes about. Maybe they might want to wait a little bit longer before they hire him. I understand that. The next guy, Byron Leftwich, he's going to be a head coach really soon. This guy's a leader, man. He's a leader. Yeah. People respect him, and he's been a leader since he was in college. You know what I mean?
You said like, that.
What? I remember he broke his leg, and you saw his teammates carrying him.
They carried
him. Remember that?
Yep.
Yeah, I do. Like, he's that kind of guy. So, regardless of, you know, his offensive, you know, acumen and what he is as an offensive coach, this guy's a leader. He's going to be a head coach very, very soon, if not next year. So everything that Tampa Bay has done, just like you said, in regards to their diversity, they're showing the right way of doing things. You know, it's not just, oh, we're going to put this guy here. We're going to put this. No, these guys are fully capable people. And, you know, they are the best at their positions. And so when you hire them, you know exactly what you're getting. You're not just, this isn't just a diversity hire. you're hiring the best defensive coordinator to be your head coach. Keith Armstrong, I've known Keith. Keith has been one of the best special teams coaches for like 15, 20 years. You know what I mean? So all these guys, when they now get their chance, it's not a diversity hire. You're hiring them because they are leaders and they are actually exceptional at what they do.
They won a championship, OC.
Yeah.
And Bruce Arians, I think, said this, and we always kind of discuss this. It's different perspectives and voices in a room, which gives you more data points, right, to make a decision. When you have different people voicing their opinions based on their experience, what they are, who they are, it gives you the information to make great decisions. And Bruce Arians spoke about that. Like, when they have discussions on things, they have all these different viewpoints and vantage points, and it helps them come to a conclusion. And I just think when you see a success like this, obviously in any sport, you're chasing excellence. You're going to do what it takes to get there, right?
Yep. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. But more importantly, I mean, Bruce, in as much as he was just hiring, or in as much as his staff is full of diversity, they are the best at their position. It's not like he wasn't just hiring people just to be hired. Todd Bowles was a known outstanding defensive coordinator. Byron Leftwich was already there. Like, he's a known leader. Keith Armstrong was there. Special teams coach for the Falcons for a long time. They've always had good special teams. So he hired the best guys. And now these guys are, you know, going to go get their own opportunities. I think it's incredible.
So we always say this, and I believe in this. Defense wins championships, right? Period.
Yeah.
You got to, especially when you get into these, obviously the best offenses usually make it to the end. So you got to be able and have the you have to have a capable defense to go out there and shut them down and play their best game on that day. I will say this, though. The Brady factor, the Brady effect, the knowing you got the guy, do you just feel like they stepped it up, man?
Well, I think that there could be an element of that. You know, I think there could be an element of that, man, but overall, I just saw Tampa Bay they just were the better team, man. They were the more physical team. They were the hungrier team. As much as I want to, you know, give Brady that credit, I can't do that. I can't, because individually, man, those guys just, man, they just wanted it so much more on that defense, man. They wanted it so bad, man. They were hungry for it. Just watching that game, watching them play, watching them strain, watching them not care about Kansas City. Like, I think Kansas City might be in trouble here, man.
Before we go into that thought, because that's interesting, I didn't want to admit this home field advantage thing, but Tampa spoke on it. And they were like, we weren't going to let this happen in our house. The disrespect we were hearing about this team just going to come out and roll us over in our house, not going to happen. And you saw the pride with the way they spoke about that, where they're like, this ain't not in our town, not happening.
But then again, you know, Jason, here's something that, and this happened to us too. It happened to us. Like, okay, we went to Tampa, we beat Tampa. We had to go to Dallas. Dallas had 14 Pro Bowlers, 14. Jason, 14 Pro Bowlers. We had to go to their house and beat them. Then we had to go play Brett Favre and all them boys in like negative 10 degree weather. And we had to beat them there. And so we get to the Super Bowl and people are like, yeah, New England is just going to roll you over. And we're like, do you know what we did to get here? Like, do you know what we went through to get here? That these guys are just going to roll us over? Like, what are you talking about? You know? And then it's the same thing with Tampa. Look at what they had to do to get there. Look at who they had to go through to get to the Super Bowl. And then you think it's Mahomes and them that's just going to, oh, they're just going to show up and they're just going to bombs away. Like, are you crazy? Like, what are you talking about? You know? And so there's that element, there's that level of feeling, man, that, you know, it was just difficult for them. I mean, for anybody to beat that team, given what they went through. In regards to Kansas City, I was watching that football team, and the one thing that I did notice, and Devin White, he was talking about it. He was like, they're not a physical football team. You know, they're not like, he was like, they're not tough. They're not a tough football team. The one thing that I did see when I watched that game, there was a clear lack of respect for Kansas City by Tampa Bay. Like they weren't intimidated. They weren't afraid. They didn't even feel threatened realistically by this team. Now it could have been by the way Todd Bowles was calling his defense. I don't know. But what I saw was a team that wasn't intimidated by Kansas City. Now here's what's going to happen, because this is a copycat league. People are going to have watched that game. We've been in the league. We understand how that works. When you sit down and you watch somebody get punched in the mouth like that, not when it's your turn to go play them, you don't feel like they're invincible anymore. You understand what I mean? You're like, okay, it's Kansas City, but they're not. I just saw them get smacked around. You know, I just saw it with my own eyes. So you're no longer feeling, you know, you're no longer defeated before you actually play the game. Because sometimes that can happen. You see Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Kelsey, you're like, oh my God, I don't even know how we're going to beat these guys, man. And then you're defeated. But now you've seen somebody not only beat them, it wasn't even a close game. They were thrashed. They were beaten convincingly. And now everybody who's playing them isn't going to be afraid anymore. They're like, okay, we're gonna do this. We're going to play those two deep safeties, and we're going to make you drive all the way down the field. That's exactly what we're going to do.
You got to have the personnel, OC. And that's why we talked about this matchup and why it was going to be so difficult. You got to have them dogs on the front four, because by no means did they do anything except double. They doubled Tyreek Hill pretty much every play. They were not going to let him beat them. And you can only do that when you got them dogs up front. And they also, them two linebackers in their speed that can cover up zone areas quickly. So they had the personnel to do it. So you're right. I think everybody has to say, to beat this team, this is how we have to build our team to play them. That being said, this offensive line at Kansas City, they get two starters back. They get healthy. You know, that's what they need. Because you're right. They weren't physical. And it was because that offensive line was getting beat down. And if your offense and defensive line aren't tough, you're not a physical team. So I agree with you on that.
Okay, true. But let me ask you something. Do you remember, I forget, it was maybe like late in the season. I think they had just played Atlanta. And I said, this team is getting ready to get punched in the mouth.
Yes, I do remember that.
Now, this didn't just start because of their offensive line issues at the end of the season or in the Super Bowl. Regardless, this team, towards the end of the season, people were challenging them. Like, you know, they were being challenged physically by pretty much whoever was playing them. And they just didn't look like the same team. And then all of a sudden it was like, Kansas City's taking their foot off the gas. Or Kansas City is, you know, maybe they weren't doing. No, teams are catching up to you now. And teams are like, you know, they're no longer afraid. Adam said that. He was like, listen, we feel like we can challenge these people. You understand? And everybody was seeing that towards the end of the season. Tampa Bay just took it to a completely different level when they played them. And now, all next year, guess what you're going to see? You're going to see the exact same thing every single week. Every single week, it's going to be the same thing. Being challenged, challenge, 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 challenge. And then we'll see what happens.
I think you're right. I think we made in the media, people made a lot of excuses for them not performing at a superior level at all times. It's, they can turn it on when they want. Oh, they can do this when they want. Oh, they can do that. And, you know, it worked until the Super Bowl. And then it didn't, because they're the two best teams. And this team is not going to let you turn the corner. I mean, you're right. I mean, they executed the game plan. Everybody knew if they did the things they did on Super Bowl Sunday, they would win. I didn't think they were going to do everything like that. Yeah, establish the run on first and second down so you can play action pass. Check. You know, get after them with the front four and double cover Tyree and Kelsey and switch up the zones. Get after Mahomes, put the pressure on him. Check. Like, it was just phenomenal. So, I mean, you're right. Do you think they can get back there? Or is this the bump? Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they can get back there. I think they can get back there. Nothing's going to be easy for them anymore. That's for sure. Nothing is going to be easy for them. Everything is going to be, They're going to have to claw, scratch, fight. It's going to be, things are going to be ugly for them, man. This 15-1 and just all that's done. Over. Forget it. You're not going to see that from this team no more. You can forget about that.
At least they got their staff together. They got their whole staff coming back.
Yeah, that's cool. For real, man. I like teams that have, you know, more toughness to them. I do. And oddly enough, it's weird. I would have loved playing for Kansas City. That's my type of team. You know what I mean? Like, I would have loved that, but.
Bring me in to somewhere I've never been. I know we're in a pandemic. Things aren't the same. Super Bowl, you just win.
Yeah.
Parties. You got any good parade stories for us?
I think the first Super Bowl we won, I didn't go to the parade. You know, I left Arizona.
What were you doing?
I was in Hawaii. I was in the Pro Bowl. Yeah,
that's
I was in the Pro Bowl.
You had to go straight to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I left Arizona. I flew straight to the Pro Bowl because then the Pro Bowl was the week after the Super Bowl. And, you know, I didn't want to fly all the way back to New York and then fly from New York to Hawaii, which is like 13, 14 hours, when I could just take a 6-hour flight. So I just did that. I didn't really know what I was missing. I didn't. That was crazy. Because if I would have known what it was like, I for sure would have went. The second one, you know, I had the pleasure of going. I went to the second one. And I got to tell you, man, there's really nothing quite like it. You know, there's nothing like it because you're in these open top buses and you're riding through the streets of New York City. And there are millions of people outside. I'm not even exaggerating. It literally, like 2 million people were in the streets. Like all those skyscrapers, people are hanging out the windows. They're throwing tissues. They're throwing paper. And everybody's just going nuts. And you're moving like you're crawling because you can't go fast, obviously. So you're moving like really, really slow. And it's just like a mob of people all over, and they're screaming and they're hitting the bus, and it's nothing like it. Nothing like it. It's incredible. You ever seen 2 million people before? Do you know 2 million people looks like? It was cool. It was really nice, man.
How long did it take before you had to pay for a dinner in New York City after that?
Oh, man. I don't even remember, man. I do remember one thing that happened to me, and I probably told this story before. This is at Tao, the restaurant Tao. And and so I had to go do an autograph signing. But the autograph signing was at like 12 o'clock at night. But I wanted to go to Tao, obviously. And so I had Tinashe call them. And she was just going to go pick up the fish that I wanted to eat. And they were like, oh, no, don't worry. We'll stay open. Now, Tao closed at 10, right? So I go into Tao. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. And it's just they had kept the restaurant open for me. And I'm sitting in Tao by myself, bro. I'm sitting in there by myself. They had the chefs there, the waitress, and it's just me in that whole, you know what it looks like. It's just me in that whole restaurant. Just sitting there eating. And I'm looking around. I'm like, what in the world? You guys kept the hottest restaurant in New York open just so I can come in there and eat? Like, what kind of craziness is this? But there's just so many little things like that that happen, you know, when you win, that just wouldn't happen ordinarily, man. It was incredible.
I want your comment on this because I found it just fascinating. When you just got it, you got it. And that's what I think about when I saw this. You saw Tom Brady throwing the trophy off of his boat.
Yeah.
And then
that was crazy.
Who caught it? Cameron Brake, the tight end? He catches it. And you look at it and you just like, only Tom Brady can get away with that, OC. That's it. That's the only person.
But I mean, think about the level of trust he had to have, either trust or drunkenness, one of the two, that he decides to throw that thing. If that thing fell in the water, like imagine that. But then again, it's heavy. It's not light. And then the guy had to catch the trophy. Like anything, so many bad things could have happened right then. So many bad things. The only positive thing that could have happened was the catch, and he actually made that. It could have been 100 things that went wrong. It's crazy.
He throws the Lombardi trophy from his boat to another boat. It's caught. And you hear what he said. He said it's that avocado tequila. So I might have to try that. I might have to get some.
You might have to try that. Yeah, I agree. I mean, whatever he's doing, I want some.
I'll do the avocado tequila, but I need the duck rice, Ophie. That's a must.
Yeah, it saturates. It helps, you know, saturate your stomach when you have the duck rice. You know, with a little bacon in there. And then, you know, maybe you won't be. Hey, Tom was wasted, man. Tom Brady was wasted, bro. Have you seen that? I was like, wow. He is. I've never seen that before. I've never seen Tom Brady like that before. He really enjoyed this one.
He loved it. I mean, it's the new Tom, man. When we get that championship, when we get that win, I'm going to let you know.
I'm happy.
Tell me this,
man.
Though. You seen your head coach drunk after them Super Bowls, didn't you?
Nope. I've seen other people higher up in the organization drunk, but never Coughlin.
Did Coughlin have a drink after the win?
I didn't see it. I just didn't see it. I'm quite sure he did, but I didn't see it. I didn't see it, man. I didn't. He did. But I'm happy for Brady, man. Like, I'm happy for him. I really am. Like, first of all, he showed your boy love, first and foremost. And second of all,
major love.
You know, just I know what it's like when everybody thinks it's one thing and then you show that it's something else. I know what that's like. And you can no longer dispute his greatness, because the one thing that people used, the one thing people used to say maybe he isn't the greatest of all time, he has crushed that right now. He's crushed it. And now you just have to accept it. You have to.
Yeah.
Belichick as a head coach without Tom Brady, he's like 52 or 62. Like, I didn't know this.
He's won Super Bowls without Tom Brady, though.
As a head coach, 52 and 62. This is his coaching record. Now, I'll never say Belichick isn't an incredible head coach, man, because I believe he is. I believe he's a great coach. Probably the greatest coach we've seen. But, I mean, golly, you know. They say men lie, women lie, numbers don't. There's a number for you.
I know, but it's hard because they built that together. You know, it was a marriage.
They did.
And they built it together. But Tom Brady,
but
now what
goes.
He's done on his own, it's amazing. If Bill Belichick gets a quarterback over there, who knows what could happen, or, you know, spend some money, because he's been able to do things and get away with things. Maybe they can't do that anymore. They're going to have to go spend some money. I don't know. Yeah, I think
they
worked well together.
They have to spend. They have to spend.
Yeah, I think they worked well together, but you're right. I will say this, and you always say this about players. Players matter. It's a players' league. Tom Brady's that guy. But when your best player, or the people who they perceive him as your best player, is the hardest worker, your whole team elevates. Everybody. Sure. You know, and I make jokes always about you showing up early, straight hand, working hard, you guys. I remember when I first got there, witnessing Eli, just the first guy in, almost the last guy out. I was just like, man, this is all right. You know, I like this culture, and he brings that, you know, so everybody just gets on that boat. And obviously all them boats are floating, and they throwing Super Bowl trophies off the boat now.
Yes, sir.
But OC, so it's the off season. We just like give a Super Bowl recap. How we feeling? We're still getting our juices back. We're still, you know, we gotta get our intensity back, because I'm a little drained. I can't lie. It was a great season. I think we're gonna go to, how do they say it, fortnightly.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So we might take a little break, but we're coming back heavy. And the off season, that's when OC gets real scary, because I don't know what's gonna happen. Where we're gonna go, but I'm excited.
I think things are gonna be a little bit tamer, man. Yeah, but you see how everything is in America right now? Everything's just calm because of Biden. There's no more craziness. Everything's just calm there right now. I'm like, I guarantee you, Fox News and CNN are very, very angry. They talked all that. CNN talked all that trash about Trump, but I mean, they were making so much money, probably so much
Rating
money, and now
through the roof.
All gone, because nobody even pays attention anymore. Now they got this impeachment trial. People are watching. As soon as that's over with, It's all over.
Yeah, we'll definitely discuss this impeachment trial because it's quite interesting, the ramifications of this. And I would like to hear your perspective on how this is going to impact the culture in America. But we can get on that later. Good to see you.
Yes, sir.
Team No Sleep. Another year done, man, and we'll get back on it soon. We want to thank everybody for being on this journey with us, man. It means so much. We love it. OC and I talk about it all the time, so it's very important to us. And Uprise will be back at it soon. We will let you know. And to solve the mystery, if you hit subscribe, you will know when we are back, because you will get notifications. Buddy super bang, yeah. Every night I'm on, yeah. Wake up, say my prayer, show face, have no fear, engine up and running, all these gams I'm rocking, all these moves I'm plotting, always up to something, I know they for long, miracle signs and wonders, Father give me hope, Holy Ghost fire.